Begin the Karn Daf Mesach Ksubis Daf Yud Aleph. Begin on the second line of the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnais and the theme of this Perek of Mesach, they're talking about the amount that's given in a Ksuba. So the previous Mishnah said that Besula gets Ksubas Masayim, 200, and Almana gets Amana. So our Mishnah describes who gets the Ksuba of a Besula. Certain cases, and that is, as the next Mishnah will actually contrast the opposite of these cases. So the Mishnah says, Hagiyeris, a woman that converted, Vahashvuya, and a woman that was taken in captivity, that was then redeemed, or Vahashivcha, or a maidservant. Now, in all these situations, as a non-Jewess, or a woman in captivity, or as a maidservant, there is an assumption that the men that were with them had relations with them. But, Sheniftu, they were redemed, and that's relation to the Shvuya, or Vishnaskaru, they were converted, that's regarding to the Gieres, Vishnishtacharu, that they were freed, that's relating to the Shivcha, Pchusis mibnei Shalash Shalom b'yem Echad, they became Jewish, full-fledged Israelis, and they were not with those inappropriate situations, less than the age of 3, then Ksubasim Masayim, then their Ksuba is 200, and V'yeshlam Tainas Besulam, and that is, it goes so far that if the husband says he doesn't see Besulam, then he could say that it was a mekachtois, it was a mistake, because there is a presumption, as Igmo will explain in Amud Beis, that although these women were in situations where men would have had beer with them, but since there was less than the age of 3, and they were already a full-fledged Jewess before the age of 3, then as Igmo will explain, the Besulam come back. And therefore, there is an assumption that there should still be Besulam, and therefore they get the Ksuba of a Besula, and it would still apply times Besul. Now, the Gemara brings in the following discussion, which will relate to the halach of our Mishnah. So Amar Rav Huna, he says, Ger Kot, a minor convert. In other words, as Rashi explains, that he doesn't have a father, because if he has a father, then his father could convert him. Still, he doesn't have a father, but his mother brings him to become a convert. So on that, Rav Huna says, Matbilin Oisoi, they could immerse him in the mikvah, because as Rashi says, every conversion needs both circumcision and immersion in the mikvah, al das bezdin, with the supervision and the das, the agreement of bezdin. That is because you need to have 3 people by his immersion, like every tevila of a ger, which needs 3 people. But moreover, they become like his father, and he becomes a ger through them. And that is, as the Gemara explained, that we know the halacha that a father could convert his child. But that halacha, Bezdin can take that role. And moreover, that if he touches wine now, it's going to be kosher. We will consider him like a full-fledged Jew. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, my kamashma, what is the chiddush of Rav Huna's halacha? So we're taking a child that, let's say, is 4 years old. Let's say he was adopted or whatever the situation is, and we're making him a Jew. So the Bezdin has the authority to do that. So the question is, what's the chiddush? That it's a merit to become a Jewish person, and that we could merit something to someone when he's not there, where in this case, is of course, the child is there, but his das is not all there because he's still a child and he doesn't have a full capacity for intellect to make a decision. And that would be where Rav Huna's Chiddush is saying that, oh, we could do it for him because we know it's a merit. Is that what he's saying? But Tanina, that we already learned in the Mishnah, Masechtas Erevin, that says, Zachin la'adam shalei b'fanav, you can merit something to someone even when he's not there, although you needed someone's agreement to add something to his estate, but if it's a schus, if it's a merit, you don't need his acquiescence. But ve'in chavin la'adam shalei b'fanav, you cannot create a liability for someone when he's not there, because why would I want this to acquire a liability? But one thing we see is that you could be zachin la'adam shalei b'fanav, so what is the chiddush of Rav Huna? Of course, becoming Jewish with all the mitzvahs and all the things that come along with it, it's definitely the purpose of the world, so why wouldn't someone want to have that? So I think Gemara says no, because Ma'adur Tamer, without Rav Huna's halacha, we would have thought to say that a non-Jew would prefer the frivolness and the freedom of being ownerless, that's the literal term of hefkeris, meaning that there's no obligations, and that he would prefer that, because actually becoming a Jew is a liability for him, and therefore a person cannot be a messenger, a medium, for a person to create a liability if he's not there. And again, as we explained before, they mean to say without his agreement. And a minor is considered that he doesn't have the capacity of agreement because he doesn't have das yet. Now, why would we think that a non-Jew, which is what this child is, would prefer hefkeres? Because the Kaimulon, as the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechtas Gittin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, de'eved vade behefkeri nichle, a slave most definitely prefers hefkeres. where he would rather stay as a slave than become a Jewish person. And the reason for that is because he prefers the freedom of licentiousness and the immorality that he could have to his heart's desire with the non-Jewish women. Now, whereas contrast to when he becomes a Jewish man, he can only marry Jewish women that are not debased and they're not downgraded like other situations. Therefore, an Eved actually does not prefer to become a Jew. He prefers Hefkeris. So, Kamash Molon, the Chiddush of Ravuna is that over here, when we have a minor non-Jew, we don't say that. Why not? What's the difference? And the reason is because Dahanamili, when did we say that a non-Jew, like we find by the context of a slave, that he prefers Hefkeris? It says, no, I'd rather not have any requirements and then to create greater pleasure. I'd rather have comfort, just whatever, easy come, easy go. That's Totmat by Godel. Whereas that he grew up in this context of Hefkeris, where once you get used to that, the Toim Tam Deisur, you already tasted forbidden tastes, then, although, yes, you might get more pleasure the other way, which is a merit, but you already prefer that type of habitual lifestyle, and therefore it's actually a liability to become a Jew. But if he's a minor, it's a merit, because that is the better way. It's just people say, this is what I do, this is who I am, and this is what I'm staying with. The other way is too hard. But if you don't know any better, it's definitely a merit where people say, yeah, of course I'd choose that lifestyle. And therefore, for a non-Jew, Rav Huna's being mechadish is that, although generally for a non-Jew, you say it's a liability, but it's only because they're habituated already in the time of the Yisurah. But if he never had that because he's a child, then of course it's a merit to make him into a Jew, and therefore they could convert a ger katan al das bezdin. Now the Gemara says, Lema Sayeli, let's support Rav Huna's halacha from our Mishnah. That's why we introduced this halacha over here of what's called the sugya of ger katan. Because our Mishnah says as follows. Like our Mishnah says, Hagiyeris vashvuya vashifch. As we said, a woman that converted or was redeemed, or a woman that was a captive or a convert, meaning she was non-Jewish before she converted, and a maidservant, Shiniftu vishnis gairu v'nishishtachru, that they were redeemed or they converted or they were freed, Pchusis mi b'nai sholosh miyam echad, lower than the age of three. So we say that they're going to get a ksuba of a besula of Masayim, as we said, because their besulam came back, and therefore there is still the presumption that they're a besula. Now, but one thing we see from the Mishnah is, my love, if we're saying that a ketana became a giyaris at age two, how did she become a giyaris? Dat filin wa das bezdin. Obviously, you see that because bezdin could merit her to become Jewish, because it's a schus. So you see Rav Huna's halacha. I think Moses says, no, our Mishnah is Toma, Beger Shnez Gairu Banov Benoisim Mishnah. Toma, a father, a man that converted, and his sons and daughters convert with him. And that's because Dinichaluhu B'maida of Ravu, and there they prefer what their father did to do with them. They want to stay with the family. Whatever the father's doing, they want to be part of that because he takes care of them and everything that comes along with that. So in the Mishnah, that's what it would be talking about. But you don't see Rav Huna's halacha. He's saying even a bigger chiddush, even if there's no father, we say that they can take the place of a father and make it into a schus. And that's a bigger chiddush because here, at least if they have a father, they prefer what the family's doing. That's one level. But and that you don't see from the Mishnah because it could be talking about with the father, but Rav Huna's being mechadish even if there's no father. Now related to this halacha, Rav Yosef, he says, Higdilu. So when these minors that were converted, when they become older, even if they converted with their father, the whole family converted, but when they become an adult, they could protest and say, we don't want to be converts, and they can go back to their old ways of being a non-Jew, and moreover, we don't punish them in the rabbinical courts in Beis Din, even if the Jewish people have control and could enforce the halacha. Now, therefore, if let's say if this minor that was a ger, and then when he became an adult, he said, I don't want to be anymore. And then afterwards, he is mekadesh a woman, so she doesn't need a get, which would be the case of, let's say, he would be qualified as what's called the Yisrael Muma, where once a person is a convert at an adult stage, and then he says, I'm not interested in this Judaism, and he goes back to being a non-Jew, he's still considered a Jew, and he'd be a Yisrael Mumur, a rebellious Jew, and if he's Mekadosh, a woman would be a Kedushin to require a get, but here you don't even need a get to require it because he could revoke his Jewishness because now that he's an adult, he gets to make that decision. Now, that halacha of Rav Yosef, Esra Abaya, Abaya asked from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, as we quoted this before, Hagiyaris vashvuyev ha-shifcha, shenifte vishnizkayev v'nishishtachur, As we said, so the ksuba is going to be 200. Again, because although maybe men were immoral with her when she was still a non-Jew or a captive or a slave, but she became Jewish under the age of 3, so the besulim came back. So therefore, there's a presumption of a besula, and therefore the ksuba is 200. Now, but Abaya asked, if you're going to entertain like Rabbi Yisuf just said, that when they become an adult, then they could protest and they could become non-Jewish. So Yavin la ksuba da azlava achla b'kiyusa. Are we going to give this woman a ksuba that she could then go ahead and consume as a non-Jew? In other words, if you're saying that she could ultimately become non-Jewish again once she becomes an adult, so why are we giving her a ksuba? We're not going to want to give a non-Jew a ksuba to go ahead and use as a non-Jew if she's Jewish and she's going to forever be a Jew. So we're going to qualify that as someone that's legitimate for ksuba. But if she could revoke that, why would we give her the ksuba? So that, the Gemara answers, l'chi gadla, you're right. We don't give it to her when she's a minor. We give it to her when, if a man marries a woman that's a minor, when she becomes an adult, then they give her the ksuba. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? L'chi gadla namim chayv nafka. What do you mean? When she becomes an adult, she could also say, you know what? I was converted when I was a child. I don't like this. I don't appreciate this anymore. I'm going back to being a non-Jew. I didn't make this decision. So she'll protest when she's 15, when she's 18. So what does it help to give the ksuba when she's an adult? She'll still be able to protest. But the Gemara says, no. Kivin shegdila sha'achas v'lemichsa. Once she became an adult for one moment and she didn't protest yet, then she cannot protest anymore. She can't revoke her Jewishness anymore because that was an implicit agreement to being Jewish because she was an adult and she continued without revoking it. So therefore, she's already a full-fledged Jewess as an adult and she's acquiesced to that. And therefore, you can't do that anymore. And therefore, even if she would protest, let's say when she reaches 15, she's still considered like a full-fledged Jewess that's a mumeres, just a rebellious Jewess. And therefore, she would get all the punishments of Bezdin. We consider her in all perspectives as a Jewess, and that's why she gets a ksuba, at least when she becomes an adult. A similar type of question, like Abai asked, Masa Rav, he asked a similar question from a Mishnah later on, Daf Chavtes Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Eilu Nairis Sheyesh Lan Knas. These are the women that get a knas. That is the knas of 50 silver coins if a man violates them. Now, what are these cases? And they're all a chidush in halacha, where habal amamzeres, val nasina, val akutis, if man has relations, if the woman, even if she's a child of an illegitimate union or from the nasinim, which is from the different nations that weren't supposed to convert to the Jewish people, or on akutis. Now, although all these women are not appropriate to what the pasuk says, that if a man violates a woman who is not married, that says of a loisi leisha, that he has to take her as a wife, because these you can't, because he's not allowed to get married to a mamzeres or nesina or kutis. In spite of that, as the Gemara will explain there on Daf Chavtes Amud Aleph, they still get a knas. Now, its primary is the next part of the Mishnah. V'alagiyaris v'alashvuyah v'alashivcha sheniftu v'shenesgayru v'shenestachar p'chusim v'bayisholim v'shon v'yemechad, which again is the same type of case that we said, that they were redeemed and converted and freed under the age of 3, so then again it's presumptive that they're besulais. Yeshlin Knas, so then they have the Knas, which is what happens when the Psula is violated by a man. Now, that, Rav's question is, and if you say, like Rav Yosef, that when they become an adult, they could protest and revoke their Jewishness, which is because here we have a minor who was converted at a young age, obviously under the age of 3. Now, if you say that she could protest, so Yavin la knas to azla b'acha b'giyus, are we going to give her 50 silver coins that then she could go ahead and consume as a non-Jew? We don't give non-Jews knas. It's a Jewish thing. And therefore, it must be not like Rabbi Yosef that you cannot go ahead and revoke it because we wouldn't give you the knas then. So that the Gemara answers as it answered before. No, l'chi gadla. You're right, we don't give it to her when she's 8. Because then she might undo it when she's 12. When she's over 12, and she's, let's say, 12 and a half, 12, 13, then we give it to her. L'chi gadla. Now the Gemara asks, L'chi gadla, namim emchayv nafka. What do you mean? When she becomes an adult, even then she'll protest. She'll say, look, I didn't decide to be Jewish. I know I'm 15, and I've been acting Jewish my whole life, but it was forced upon me. So that the Gemara answers, no. Because kivin shegdila sha'achas v'lei michsa, once she becomes an adult for one moment, and she didn't protest, she can't protest anymore. She already was an implicit agreement to being Jewish because she's an adult and she's continuing the Jewish way. And therefore, we give it to her when she's an adult and that's not going to be a problem because she cannot become non-Jewish anymore. Now the Gemara explains we had two similar questions. So the Gemara explains why each one asked from their source. Abaye lo amar k'Rava. Abaye did not say like Rava to ask from the knas of Ma'anis, where that's seemingly difficult on Rabbi Yosef, because Abaye held that's not a question. And the reason is because hasam knas ha'ina taima. What's the reason? Why we penalize a person that violated a Jewish woman? Is that we don't want a sinner to gain. He went ahead and violated a woman against without her consent. We don't want him to be exempt. And therefore, yes, even if there might be a concern of that she might eat it as a non-Jewish because she could revoke it, that wouldn't be a legitimate question anyway because we don't want him to gain by doing something so inappropriate, and that's why she would get a knas. But again, from his case of the ksubo, where that's not a penalty, we wouldn't give it if she could revoke it. Whereas Rava lo emek abaya. Rava didn't say like Abaya, who asked from the fact that this minor convert gets a ksuba, where that's difficult seemingly according to Rav Yosef, because then she might revoke her Jewishness and be eating it as a non-Jewess. Rava didn't hold that's a question, because ksuba behind the taima, what's the reason why the Rabbanan instituted ksuba in the first place? That it shouldn't be lax in a man's eyes to just remove his wife. Say, you know what, I'm not interested in being married to you. A ksuba is a financial consequence, he'll think twice. Now, as long as this minor convert was not moicha, did not protest, so then she's a geyeris. So we make for her that takana. We don't want, she's Jewish, we don't know that she's going to be moicha. So definitely legitimate that there should be standing there a ksuba to stop the husband from just removing her, and therefore that would make sense, even if there would be a concern about that she could be moicha, because we still want to have her that she is a Jewish woman. Now we don't know she's a convert, and therefore each one held it's not a legitimate question under Yosef from the other source, and that's why they asked only from their source, either from Ksuba or from the Knas. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is talking about a woman, what type of a Ksuba is she going to get? The Ksuba of a Besula, which is Masayim, 200, or the Ksuba of an Almana, which is 100. So Mishnah tells us, Hagadol Shabal Akatana. If an adult man cohabits with a minor girl, now we're talking about that she's younger than the age of 3, where her bia does not qualify as an act of cohabitation because, as we explained before, her besulim come back, or the katna, let's say there's a minor younger than the age of 9, where the sages say that his bia is not a bia, he doesn't have the ability to have a full act of bia, where shabala gadoila, that he has bia with an adult woman. Or a third case, umukas aids, or a woman that a piece of wood got lodged in the place of the besulim and thereby rupturing it. Ksubasa and masayim. All these three women, these three cases, their ksuba are 200. In other words, if let's say after they had this intimacy, the adult man with the minor girl, or the minor boy with the adult woman, or the mukas eitz, they get married to someone else after this happened, they don't lose their ksuba of a besula through this, and therefore, if they get married without any specifications, then they're going to get their ksuba of what a besula normally gets, which is masayim. That's opinion of Remeya. The chachamayim, they argue, mukas eitz ksubas amana. They say that a woman that had it ruptured not through the act of a bia, but from a piece of wood, she gets downgraded from a ksuba of a besula of 200 to a ksuba of a mana, and that's because she doesn't have a besulim anymore. Now the Mishnah continues, besula, and this is related to the previous Mishnahs, a besula that is almana or grusha or v'chalutza min hanisuin. Now how is she a besula? Is, for example, let's say she went to the chuppah, so she became a nesua, but immediately after the chuppah, her husband died. So there's a presumption, there's a chazaka, that she never had bia with him because you're not supposed to have bia before the chuppah, and right after the chuppah, he died. So she could be a besula, even though it's from the nisuin. So either her husband died, or the second after the chuppah, he divorced her, or there was chalitza. Still, the Mishnah tells us, kesubasan mana. Her ksuba is going to be only a mana. And that is, if let's say she gets married to someone after that incident without anyone saying anything, her ksuba is going to be a mana, because the moment there's chuppah, which is nisuin, the chazaka automatically changes from besula to be'ula, even though you would seem to say that, what I mean, of course she's a besula, because right after chuppah he died, and obviously there was no active bia. The chazaka changes immediately after nisuin. And moreover, as the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, the Mishnah says, ve'ein len tainus besulim. That is, if let's say that new husband says that, what do you mean? I married you on the presumption that you were besula, because everyone knows you were besula, and then you had the chuppah, and your husband died. And therefore it's a mekach tois, and you don't get any ksuba, even that one mana. The halacha is no, there's no taina besulim, and therefore, yes, she doesn't get masayim, but she gets the ksuba of a mana. Now the Mishnah continues, which is the inverse of the previous Mishnah. Hagiyaris v'ashvuyi v'ashivcha. If a woman that was a non-Jewish that was was converting, or that was taken in captivity, or if she was a maidservant, that they were ultimately redeemed or converted or freed, over the age of three, then ksubas and mana, then the ksubas and mana, the inland times, there's no claim to think that you would have thought that she was a basula, as we explained before, because these women are around elements that would have be with them indiscriminately. And therefore, that would definitely, over the age of three, the besulim do not come back, and therefore there's definitely a chazaka that she's not a besulah, that she is a ba'ula. Nivet ksuba is a mana. Now, related to our Mishnah, the Gemara brings Amar Yehuda Merav, katan habal gedola, a minor that has bia with an adult woman, asa mukas eitz. He turns her into mukas eitz. Now, although, as we explained in the Mishnah, his bia is not a bia because he's under the age of nine. We don't qualify. So it doesn't classify as an act of bia. But he's not worse than the piece of wood that lodged in the besulim. Now, therefore, Rashi explains, according to the Rabbanan that argue regarding mukas eitz, that they say that the ksuba is not masayim, but rather a mana. Here also they would say, regarding a katan that's bala gedayla, her ksuba would be a mana. So too, regarding a kohen gadol, that the Mishnah teaches Maseches Yevamos Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, that a kohen gadol is not allowed to marry a mukas eitz because she's not a besula. Here also, if a minor boy, let's say age 7, had bia with an adult woman, although again it wasn't active bia, but it does make her into mukas eitz, which would make her invalid for a kohen gadol. Now, however, ki amrita kamei deshmul, Reb Yehuda says, when I said over this halacha that I just said over in the name of Rav, when I said over in the name of Shmuel, when I said in front of Shmuel, Amar, he said, no, it's not true. Ein mukas eitz bebasar, you cannot make a woman a mukas eitz, which literally means to say hit with a piece of wood, but something went and broke the besulim through some other means, that doesn't happen. It's not qualified with through the flesh of a person. And therefore, essentially, as Rashi explains, if she's not a bu'ula, which she's not, because he was under the age of nine, then she's neither a mukas eitz either. That doesn't even qualify as the halacha of a mukas eitz. Now, actually, there are those that said over this halacha that Rabbi Yehuda just said without it, Rabbi Yehuda saying over in the name of Rav and Shmuel. Rather, it was recorded that they themselves had the machlaikis. And that is katna bala gedayla, when a minor has bia with a gedayla. So Rav Amar asa mukas eitz. Rav says that makes her into mukas eitz. Shmuel Amar ein mukas eitz. But Shmuel says it's not true. You cannot make a woman into mukas eitz with flesh. The only thing that Buster can do with the man's aver is to make her into ba'ula. And if it doesn't, then it's doing nothing. It's actually less than a piece of wood. It won't even make her into a mukas eitz. Now, Master Rav Yisrael Reiser asked on Rav's opinion that it makes her into mukas eitz from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said three cases. Gadol shabal alakatana, an adult man that had be with a woman less than the age of three, or v'katna bal gedayla, a minor under the age of nine that had be with an adult, or mukas eitz, where she didn't have any bia, but a wood was lodged that broke the besulim. So kesubas mesayim divrei Meir. Meir said, so all these three women, their ksuba is going to be still 200. No, they argued mukas eitz ksubas amana. They said that mukas eitz does get downgraded. She's not a besul anymore, obviously. So she gets a ksuba of amana. Now, what the Gemara's question is, from the fact that the Remeir went and split up these two cases, the case of mukas eitz and the katna bala gedayla, to say that their ksuba are masayim and their abonon only argued on the case of mukas eitz, obviously, that they hold regarding a katna bala gedayla does not make her into mukas eitz because it's with basar. And therefore you see a refutation of Rav's opinion that a katna bala gedayla makes her into mukas eitz, because then the Chacham should have argued on that case too. So the Gemara says, no, I'm a Rava, hachikama. This is what the Mishnah is saying. Gadol ha'bal ha'ketan, regarding the first case of when an adult has beer with a minor under the age of 3, then v'loy klum. That, according to everybody, is not an act of bia, and therefore the ksuba is going to be 200, and the other rabbanim do not argue. And the reason is because the pachas mikan, when a girl is under the age of 3, it's kenaisin etzba be'ayin dom, it's like putting your finger in your eye, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Nida daf memdalam abeis, that when a girl is under the age of 3 years old, that just like the tear that comes out of the eye when the finger touches it, so then another tear drop then fills up the eye afterwards, so to the besulim of a girl under the age of 3, they come right back to where they were even after that there was bia with her under the age of 3. And therefore, according to everybody, she's going to be back a besul again to get a ksuba of 200. Now, regarding the second case, in the third case, actually it's one case. The Mishnah then said, v'katan habal l'gadayla, regarding a minor that has bia with an adult woman, that is asa mukas eitz, it's one case. That makes her into mukas eitz. Mukas eitz, gufa, pluk the jemei rabbanan, and mukas eitz herself, that case, when it was through a piece of wood, that is a machlekes Rami and Rabbanan, where Rami says the ksuba is going to still be 200, and the Chama are going to say that no, every mukas eitz, the ksuba is only a mana, and this case too, since a katan, his aver is not less than a piece of wood, makes her into mukas eitz, so therefore the ksuba is going to be a mana, and there was not a refutation of Rav, because actually that is the argument they're having, it is one case. Now, the Gemara qualifies this machlekes that we just quoted. Amar Rami Bachama says, Machlekes in our Mishnah between Remeir and the Chachamim of the case of the Mukas Eitz, which we're saying according to Rav, the Katan HaBaal HaGedolah is a case of Mukas Eitz, is Kishahikarba, is when he married her and he wrote her the Ksuba, he knew that she was a Mukas Eitz. And that is what we have the Machlekes, so what type of a Ksuba do you give to a woman that you know that she lost her Besulim but not through an act of Bia? Where the Remeir medamelo lebegeris, Remeir compares a mukas eitz to a woman that reached the age of 12 and a half, whereas the Gemara says in Masechtas Yevamos daf Tazimidav, where we know that her besulim just dissipate just by her maturity of her age. Whereas the Gemara said there, it says bibsuleha, that excludes the begeris, where her besulim disappear. In spite of that, as long as she never had an active bia, we consider her in that halachic concept of ksuba, she gets a ksuba of masayim. So, same thing is also regarding a mukas eitz, she never had bia, and therefore she'll get the ksuba of a begeris, which is 200. But Rabbanah medam lo ba'ula, however, the Rabbanah compare her to a ba'ula, because she doesn't have her besulim, and just like a ba'ula gets a mana, so too the mukas eitz. Now, however, Rabbi Muhammad says of a lohikarba, let's say he didn't know this. He assumed that she was, because she never had an active bia before, he assumed that she was a besula. He didn't know that she was a mukas eitz, something had ruptured her besulim. So Devar HaKol V'Lekulim, then everybody would agree that it's a Mekach Tois, and that is because generally a girl would have her Besulim, and therefore if he finds out only subsequently that she didn't have it, then she doesn't even get the Mana, it's considered a Mekach Tois. Now, Anad Gemara explains this Machlekes that Rav Muhammad is explaining when we know she's a Mukas Eitz. And the Gemara says in the way of a question. Why does he equate a mukas eitz with a begeris to say she gets masayim? Nedami lebaula, you should compare her to baula, because ultimately there's essentially the same thing that happens in the act of bia, which is breaks the besulim. Essentially, that's what's happening here with this piece of wood. So why should she get masayim? She doesn't have besulim. So that the Gemara answers: baula is avid b'maisa b'de adam. A baula is someone that yes, an act was done with her, but it was an act that was done through a person. That downgrades her from Masayim to Mana. But here, although she doesn't have a Besulim, but it wasn't through an act of another person, that doesn't downgrade her from Masayim to Mana. Now the Gemara says, but Rabbanan, so they ask similarly over there, Amidamullah Labu'ula, instead of them comparing the Mukas Eitz to a Ba'ula, Nedam LaBegeris, why don't they compare it to Begeris, where both of them don't have Besulim, and yet still Begeris gets Masayim? But the Gemara answers, no, Begeris Lo Yisavid B'Maisa Klal. Nothing, no act was ever done to Eisei Makim of the woman by a begeris. She just, over time, dissipates that there's no more besulim. But ha, savad b'maisa, but here by the mukas eitz, at least something was done, an act was done that ruptured it, that downgrades her from a sayim to a mana. Now, the Gemara asks, by quoting Rami Bachama, that he said, okay, so the machlekes in our Mishnah regarding a mukas eitz, which again, according to Rav, is even in the case of Katan HaBaal HaGedolah, Rambam Chama says, is when they knew about this beforehand, so they know she's a mukhazet. So they have machlekes about what category is she in, the Basulim category or in the Ba'ula category. But he said, but if let's say he didn't know that she's a mukhazet, then according to everybody, she doesn't get anything because that's a mekach tais. He thought that she was a Basula. Turns out she's not. Yes, maybe it wasn't through an act of Bia, but she's still not what I thought she was, and therefore she doesn't get anything. Now that must have Rav Nachman. Nachman asked from the Mishnah later on, Dafid Gimel and Alf, which is talking about a case when if someone marries a woman with the assumption that she's a Basula, turns out she doesn't have Basula. So the Mishnah there says, he imeris mukas etzane. She says, it's true, I didn't have Basulam, but I never had an act of Bia in my life. It's just that one time a piece of wood ruptured the Basulam. V'hoimer, and he says, lie, no, that's not true. It must be Caleb Drusus Isha, it's not true. The reason why you don't have Basulam is because you had relations with another man. That's their argument they're having. Now that the Mishnah says, that she's believed, that she's a Mukas Eight, and it's not true, she didn't lose it by having an act of Bia. Now, but one thing you see from that Mishnah is that obviously she has somewhat of a Ksuba, either a Mana or a Masayim, because if she didn't have a Ksuba, as Rami Bacham is trying to say that when we find out later, which obviously this case that they're talking about, where he finds out later that she doesn't have Basulim, then what does it mean that we believe her? The Mlil is saying, obviously a Mukas Eitz that he didn't know anything about, she gets a Ksuba. So that refutes Rami Bacham that said that when it's Loi Hikarba, and they only find out later, that according to everybody she doesn't get anything, obviously she's getting something, because we're saying we believe her, to mean she gets somewhat of a Ksuba, either Mana or Messiah. So Ela Amar Rava, rather Rava says, you're right, not like Rambam Chama. Bein hikerba u bein loy hikerba. Whether it was known beforehand that she's a Mukas Eitz, or whether it was not known, Lira Meir Masayim. According to her mayor, the woman gets Masayim because her mayor considers her like a Begaris, which is like a regular Besula on some level to get a Ksuba of Masayim. And therefore, the Mukas Eitz, whether you knew or not, it doesn't make a difference because she's like a Begaris. And therefore, Rashi explains, the Mishnah later on, David Gilman at Aleph, that says that she says, I'm a Mukas Eitz, and therefore she's claiming a Ksuba, which that would be like Rav Meir, who said that she's claiming a Ksuba of Masayim. Now, however, what Rava says is Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, depends. Hikerba, if he knows beforehand going into this marriage that she's a Mukas Eitz, then Mana, then she gets only a mana, and that is meaning our Mishnah that said Vachachama Aimir Mukas Eitz Mana is talking about when he knew beforehand going in, as we said, because they hold that she's more similar to a Ba'ula than to a Basula. Now, but Rava says, Loi Hikerba, according to Rabbanan, if they didn't know beforehand, if he didn't know that she's a Mukas Eitz, then Veloi Klum. Then actually, she doesn't get any Ksuba. Now, Taisus wonders, why did Rava have to say this? Why couldn't he say, according to Rabbanan, that whether you knew about it beforehand or you didn't know, that it would be a mana, as actually the Gemara's Maskana will be according to Rabbanan, and then we could say that the mission later on, that if Gimel and Alf would be according to everybody, even according to Rabbanan, that the woman that's nemenis to say she's Mukas Eitz, is believed to say that, yes, it happened through a piece of wood, not through a man, and therefore I get my Ksuba of a mana. Where according to Rabbanan, it would be Masayim, but why couldn't Rava say that according to Rabbanan, it's going to be even when it's Loi Hikarba? So that Taisus says that the Gemara Rava preferred not to say that. And the reason is because since the Rabbanan are comparing a Mukas Eitz, as we just explained in the Gemara, to a Ba'ula, now essentially what that means is that if it wasn't known beforehand, so then it's like when someone marries someone with the Chazaka of a Basula and turns out that she's a Ba'ula, where that we explained beforehand, a woman doesn't get anything if you marry Becheskes Basula and find out she's a Ba'ula. Now, according to the conclusion of the Gemara holds that this that we're comparing a Mukas Eitz to a Ba'ula is only regarding the amount of the Ksuba of a Mana. But truthfully is, it's not a Mekach Toys like a Ba'ula, because actually a person is not so particular about a woman being a Mukas Eitz as he is about her once having relations with another man before, and therefore it's not going to be a full-fledged Mekach Toys to say that she doesn't get a Ksuba at all. But according to the Gemara here in the Havamina, the Rava preferred to say that according to Rabbanan, you're not going to get anything. Now, additionally, Rashi adds a point that this that we're making the differential between, according to Rabbanan, that when you know beforehand, you get a mana, and if you didn't know, you don't get anything because it's a Mekach Tais, like as they compare it to a Ba'ula. Why didn't we say this in the according to Rav Meir? That when you know beforehand going in, he compares the mukaseitz to besula, she gets 200. But when you didn't know, or didn't know that she was a mukaseitz, it's not what I thought it was, that maybe you get downgraded to a mana. Now Rashi says, no, you can't say that, because if it's a mekach toyes, then she shouldn't get anything. And if it's not a mekach toyes, then you shouldn't differentiate between when you knew beforehand or you didn't know, because it doesn't make a difference if you knew it's not a mekach toyes anyway. It's exactly what you had bargained for. And therefore, either way, it should be either nothing or masayim. And therefore, what the explanation was is that, according to a mayor, there's no difference to say that it's a masayim or mana. It's always going to be masayim, and that therefore that mishnah later on is going like remeir. Now, however, the Gemara does say that v'hod de Rava. Ultimately, Rava retracted from this that he said, according to Rabbanan, that if you didn't know beforehand, and only later did you find out that she's a mukaseis, that you don't get anything, and therefore, again, the mishnah that we asked from later is going like remeir and not like Rabbanan. Ultimately, as the Gemara will prove in the bottom of this amid, that Rava retracted. And whether you knew about it beforehand or didn't know about it, according to Rabbanan, you'll get a mana, and according to remeir, you'll get masayim. And therefore, the mishnah later on, according to the conclusion of the Gemara, is actually going according to everybody, where the woman is in a menace to say mukaseitz, that she gets a ksuba. Where again, as the Gemara is going to be concluding, doesn't make a difference for mukaseitz whether you knew or not. She's classified either as a besula or as a ba'ula, and it doesn't change. If you knew or didn't know according to Meir, it's 200. If you knew or didn't know according to Rabbanan, it's going to be a mana. Now, how do we know that Rava retracted? The time like learned the Brisa, the Gemara goes through the whole discussion of this sugya, which ultimately the Gemara will prove from something Rava says to show that he retracted from what he says over here, and that he held that according to Rabbanan, a mukas eitz will get a ksuba of a mana even if you didn't know going into the marriage. As the Gemara says, we learn the Brisa as follows. How does the process of what's called a mitzi shemra work? Where what happens is that a man claims that the woman that he married didn't have besulam. Now, which means to say that if he's right, then she gets skila, because he says obviously she was mezana. And if he's wrong, I mean he's lying, then he has to pay a penalty of 100 silver shkalim. So how does this process work, where he makes this claim, just if he just talks to a friend? How does the process work? So the Braisa says, Bala Best. In other words, he has to first come to Best. Vamani, he says in court, he subpoenas the father of his bride, and he says, look, plainly, this person, the father of the woman I just married, Lamatsasi Labitcha Basulam, I didn't find for your daughter Basulam. So the Braisa says, Im yesh edim shizin zetachtav, if there are witnesses that she was mezana while she was engaged to him, well then yesh l'ksuba mana. Then she gets only ksuba v'mana, which the Gemara right away asks, Im yesh edim shizin zetachtav, if there's witnesses that verify that she was mezana as an ashes ish when she was engaged to him, baskilahi, she gets stoned to death. What do you mean she gets ksuba v'mana? So the Gemara says, right, hachakama. The Braisa was saying was, if there are witnesses that she was mezana, then beskila, she gets stoned. Zinsa meikara, if there's witnesses that she was mezana before she was engaged to him, before she was married, then yesh la ksuba mana, then you're right, she's not a besula, but she gets a ksuba mana as a behula would be. That's what the Braisa says. So v'amrav chiyabar avanim rav sheisha, he says, zoysa meres, what we can conclude from this, at least the amended text of the Braisa, that Kanasa Becheskes Besula, which this is what the case is talking about, he married her under the assumption that she was a Besula. The Nimtzes Beula, turns out she's a Beula, and even subpoenas his father-in-law and says, look, she wasn't a Besulam. So she doesn't get killed because Adam verified that, okay, that was before she got married to him. So it turns out she was really a Beula. She was never an Esha Sish. But even though he thought she was a Besula, it turns out she's a Beula. Yesh l'ksuba mana, she gets a ksuba of a mana. She doesn't lose it all. Now on that, Umas of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman asked from our Mishnah on the coming daf on Amud Beis, where the Mishnah says, "Hanoyseh se'ish of le'matz la'besul." If someone marries a woman and doesn't find any besulim, so here marries, she claims, "Misheristani ne'nasti v'nestap chasadeyu." You're right. Although we just consummated the relationship for the first time, and you find me not to have besulim, the truth is, it's your bad luck. And this is like the terminology that people say that like rain came and just flooded the person's field and ruined the whole thing. When we were already engaged, a man violated me. Now, so therefore, but when we got engaged and you gave me the ksuba and what the conditions of the marriage is, I was a besula. It just got ruined when we were already had a relationship of halachic engagement, and therefore it's your bad mazel that now the first time we had relations, I wasn't a besula, but I was a besula. Now, v'hoimer, and he says, Loi, no, it's not true. Ke'ela atchalai restich. It's not true. You already lost your besulim before we got engaged. And therefore, v'hoimekhi mechik tois, the mitzvah, when we got engaged, you already were not a besulim. And therefore, the Mishnah says in the coming daf that he claims it's a mechik tois. It's a mistaken acquisition. I only married you on the assumption that you were a besulim. It's not true like you're saying it happened after we were engaged. Now, the question is, and this is what Rav Nachman is asking, it sounds like v'les l'klal, that therefore, what does it mean in mekach tois? That's, I mean, the sale is undone, the marriage is not happening, we were never engaged, it was a mistaken acquisition, she doesn't get any ksuba. So that seems to contradict the inference of Rav Sheshes from that brisa that says that if you got engaged and you got married based on that you thought she was a basula, it turns out she's a ba'ula, that you get a mana, here it seems like she doesn't get anything. Now, v'amalohu Rav Chiya Bar Oven, so Rav Chiya Bar Oven said to them, wait a second. Efshar of Amram v'chol gedoy lehadar yasvi. Maybe that Rav Amram and all the great tzaddikim of the generation was sitting. Ki Amr Rav Sheshe l'hashmaiti, when Rav Sheshe was saying over this statement, which we just quoted, that he said, Zayse Meres, where he concluded from that brisa that obviously you get a ksuba mana even though you had assumed that she's a basula, turns out she's a ba'ula. The kashla, maybe they had the same question you're asking. Where, what do you mean? Look at the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis and Beis, where it sounds like she doesn't get anything. And Bishani, maybe they answered that my Mekach Tois, you're right, although he's claiming it's a Mekach Tois, Nami Mimasayim, it's a Mekach Tois from 200. Well, I thought you were Besula. You're not a Besula. I'm not giving you 200. Avamona Yisla, but maybe he did acquire a wife. He wants to be married to her, but on the level of a Be'ula. Maybe that's what it means. He wants to just say, I don't want to give you Masayim, because, yeah, I want to be married to you, but I don't want to give you 200. Because I'm claiming that you were already lost your besulim before we got engaged. So that part at least is mekach tois. So you get a mana. But for at amr less a klal, and you're asking as a contradiction on Rav Sheshe's inference from this Mishnah, maybe mekach tois means not a total mekach tois that she doesn't get anything, a mekach tois from the besulim component of getting 200. But of course she will get 100, and that's exactly what Rav Sheshe said. Now, v'amar Rava. Rava retorted back to that. He says, no, it's not true. That's not a good answer. Manda Kamaisiv, the one who's asking the question, Rav Nachman, is Shaper Kamaisiv, is actually asking a very good question. And the reason is because Mekach Tais Legamri Mashma, the terminology of a mistaken acquisition doesn't mean qualitative, you could start breaking off pieces. Okay, you didn't like that. You're like, no, it's a mistake. It's totally undone. And therefore, if it's totally undone, it's definitely going to be a valid question that seemingly from the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beis and Beis sounds like she doesn't get anything, not like Rav Sheshe's inference. So the Gemara says, okay, so now the Gemara asks according to Rava, so Ve'ela Kashahach. So now, Rava, if you hold it's a good question, well, then you have the question that was asked. And that is because before Rav Sheshe made a seemingly good inference that if she was Mizana Mi'ikara, where witnesses verify that it was before they were engaged, that she does get a ksuba mana. Now that's contradicted from the Mishnah that you're saying, mekach tois means totally not getting anything. So that the Gemara answers that no. Taritz, the way you should resolve the braisa that we originally quoted of ketzer haitzah shemra, what's the case of mitzi shemra, where Rav Sheshes, the way the braisa was amended to say that she gets a ksuba of a mana, it's not true. The way it was amended was not the way it should be answered, but rather ve'ema hachi. Resolve that braisa a different way, and therefore that won't be contradicted from the Mishnah of Yud Beis and Mabeis. And read the braisa as follows. Im yesh edim shezinta tachtav, like the braisa start off. If there's witnesses that choose mazana when they were already engaged, well then beskila, she's an eshes, she gets stoned. Zinsimei kara, if there's witnesses that say she was mazana from beforehand, then v'loy klum, then she doesn't get anything like the Mishnah of Yud Beis, that it's a mekach toyes. Now, But seemingly the braisa says that there's someone that gets a ksuba of a mana, that's a third case. Nimtzis mukas eitz, if she's found to be a mukas eitz, not that she had an active B with someone else before they got engaged, just that there was some type of operation or something that removed the besulim, then yesh la ksuba mana, then she gets a ksuba of a mana. In other words, because that could be not like a total mekach dais, because it wasn't that she had to be with another man. It's just that her basula weren't there. So, okay, fine. That, although he thought she was a basula, turns out she's a mukaseitz, so then she gets a mana. But one thing we see from what Rav is saying in his resolution of this brice in the Mishnah later on, where he says, okay, it's not a contradiction. If it turns out she's a ba'ula, she doesn't get anything. If it turns out she's a mukaseitz, she gets a mana. But what's the case of nimtzis? That sounds like that he didn't know going in that she was a mukaseitz. And yet Rav is saying that would be a case of when the woman would get a ksuba of a mana. So the Gemara concludes, but Vaharava hu damal Rabbanan, but Rav is the one that had answered that according to the Rabbanan, loy hikerba, if he did not know going in that she's a mukas eitz, and turns out she is a mukas eitz, that v'loy klum, that she doesn't get anything. Well, that doesn't go with what Rav is saying, that if you find out that she's a mukas eitz, she gets a mana. Now, moreover, as Rashi says, neither can it be like Remeir, because Remeir says, even if you didn't know she's a mukas eitz, and turns out she's a mukas eitz, you get even masayim. So who is this that Rav is saying, like, that says that if you find out later that she's a mukas eitz, you get a mana? So that's what the Gemara says. As we said before, obviously that Rava retracted from what he said before, that even according to Rabbanan, who the Mishnah of Yud Gimel could be going not just like Remeir, but even according to Rabbanan, that when the woman is claiming, you're right, I don't have my besulim, but it's not like you're saying because I had relations with another man, but rather because I'm mukas eitz, that according to everybody, when Ramlil says she's nemanis, is that because she'll get her ksuba. According to Remeir, there'll be Masayim, and according to Rabbanan, not the way Rav had originally said, that the Rabbanan would say that agree that she doesn't get anything, but rather the Rabbanan would agree that she gets a ksuba of a mana.